بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفائك. عليك مني السلام أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. السلام عليكم my dear brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us for our last and final lecture in Majlis with Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani and Brother Ali Abu Khudr. Inshallah, to start off tonight's program, I would like to welcome our dear brother Ali Rida for some recitation from the Holy Quran. Please help me welcome him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا ولما رأى المؤمنون الأحزاب قالوا هذا ما وعدنا الله قالوا هذا ما وعدنا الله ورسوله هذا ما وعدنا الله ورسوله وصدق الله ورسوله وما زادهم إلا تسليما من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه من المؤمنين رجالوا صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبدلا ليجزي الله الصادقين بصدقهم ويعذب المنافقين ليجزي الله الصادقين بصدقهم ويعذب المنافقين إن شاء أو يتوب عليهم إن الله كان غفورا رحيما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليكم once again, dear brothers and sisters. We would like to thank you for joining us in these past nights. As today is our final night, we would like to reiterate what we said yesterday. We would like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost with blessing us to be able to hold these special nights together with all of you from your homes. And we would also like to thank our dear Sheikh Osama for enlightening us with his beautiful lectures, our brother Ali Abu Khudr for his inspiring and sincere majalis, and all the volunteers and all of those behind the scenes, all of those sponsors who were able to contribute and help make these nights possible. We would also like to thank Light of Guidance and the Zainabia Community Center for coming together and helping put these programs on. Inshallah, if we could recite Surah Al-Fatiha on behalf of all their loved ones and all the mu'mineen. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The nights and the days will go on, but now more than ever the message of Karbala lives on. Karbala has taught us to be resilient. Karbala has taught us to be free. Karbala has taught us to seek the truth, and from east to west the message of Hussein will be spread. We are the sons of Hussein. We are the daughters of Zainab, and we are the lovers of Walaya. Labbaika ya Hussein. Labbaika ya Hussein. Labbaika ya Hussein. To Karbala we go, first with a lecture with Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani, followed by a majlis with Brother Ali Abu Khadir. Please help me welcome our dear Sheikh with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to our 10th and last lecture. This year, the title has been Timeless Truth. And we've been studying the Qiyam of Aba Abdullah, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We see the words of the Imam, the stances of the Imam. We're also learning from his illustrious companions. But then as believers and people who are trying to get ibrah from this, we also look at those who failed, those who missed out. We ask Allah for protection so that we don't end up being like those individuals who are on the wrong side of history. So before I begin the lecture, which was today's lecture is going to be called Recognizing and Seizing the Moment. Recognizing and Seizing the Moment. Before that, just as a reminder to myself and all of you, brothers and sisters, this year has been a very special Muharram. We've had to remember the Imam in our homes, and we haven't been able to attend the gatherings as we would like. It's had its own barakah, of course, being with our own family in this way, but it would be nice, and inshallah, we hope that Allah, He removes this virus, so sooner we're able to gather in a safe way and have these majalis as we normally do. But brothers and sisters, I would also add this, that's not a small tawfiq to be able to have a majlis in the home and host one or two or three or four or five of the Shia, our ulama. And I'm talking about now those spiritual masters. So the example I want to give is Sayyid Qadhi Tabatabai, Ayatullah Sayyid Qadhi Tabatabai, who was the spiritual teacher of Allama Tabatabai. He used to hold majalis in his home. And now, alhamdulillah, we're able to hold majalis. But what happened was he recognized the value of these majalis. I don't know how many of you have been to Arba'een, where you get a chance to see the Shia treating you like you're one of the Zawar of Imam Hussein, although you're a nobody. You know in yourself, who am I? But they say, this person is one of the Zawar of Imam Hussein. They even try to clean your shoes. They'll do anything for you because of your attachment to Aba Abdullah. They don't even worry about who you are, where you came from, just your connection with Imam Hussein. Our ulama, our awliya, like Sayyid Qadhi Tabatabai, he used to do that. Sometimes when you would come to his house for the majlis, he would try to clean your shoes. The believers would say, no, Ayatollah, you shouldn't be doing this beneath you. He said, don't say that. In the majlis of Imam Hussein, I am a khadim. Marhum Ayatollah Khoi, when he would attend those majalis, when he would go to his house, he said, I would take my shoes with him because I knew he would clean the shoes, and I wouldn't even let that happen. This is the level of our ulama, and this is the value of what we've been able to do for Imam Hussein. May Allah accept, inshallah, on behalf of all of us. I'd like to talk about a little principle and then show where we see that in the lives of some, and unfortunately, we don't see it in the lives of others. There were some who made it, some who did their responsibility, and others who completely failed. The beautiful hadith is from Imam Sadiq, and he says this, Al-alamu bizamanih. So when we're talking about the idea of seizing the moment, recognizing the moment, what time is this? What should I do? What's my responsibility right now? He says, Al-alamu bizamanih. The person who is aware of his time, this person, La tahjumu alayhi al-lawabis. Those doubts, the confusion that gets normal people, they don't know what their responsibility is. They're not able to act. They don't recognize the moment. They end up on the wrong side of history. They're silent when they should take a stance. He says the person who's aware of the time doesn't have this happen to him. Some of the brothers had the tawfiq to go to the leader, and he would place the amama on the heads of the brothers. Normally, after the leader would give someone the amama, he would have a few words of advice. And it seems he would repeat these several times. Like he would say, this is what I always tell to love. Three things, he said, you're supposed to have. Lessons for us. He says, one of them is that you, as a student of the Hawza, you should study very well. You don't go to the Hawza and then you take it easy, you're working on other things, and your lessons, they're studying. He said in Farsi, the way they said, he said, you should be a mullah. You should really study very well when it comes to your study. That's one of your responsibilities. The second thing he said is that you have to have taqwa. You have to practice what you preach. You have to be a believer, a mu'min, who acts. Not, God forbid, the alim who's fasid. The fasad starts from ulama. إِذَا فَسَدَ الْعَالِمْ فَسَدَ الْعَالَمُ. So later focused on the idea of taqwa. But what he said was that those two aren't enough. He said you might have someone who is a mullah, very learned, and very pious. Taqwa. And yet, because they don't know what's going on around them, they don't recognize the situation, they're not alim bizamaneh, they take stances that hurt Islam. When they should resist, they don't resist. They think, no, now let me stay silent. And they have taqwa, by the way. He says that these people, they will go to paradise because between them and Allah, they had yaqeen. They were just confused. Islam suffers because of these people. They don't do their responsibility. Mu'mini, lives are lost, but Allah, inshallah, he's in paradise. Inshallah, Allah knows between him and Allah, we say he has taqwa. There are so many greats whose names we don't mention right now in a negative way, who didn't help out in the revolution. When they could have helped, when their help was very needed, they could have said something, they could have told the people, the mu'mineen, this is the way, Allahu Akbar, we can. They didn't. The students of Imam Khomeini would be talking to these, pleading with them, their teachers. This is aside from those ulama who hurt the revolution. And you see that too. Those who, like, but these guys, these are the good guys who just couldn't recognize their responsibility. They couldn't seize the moment. They didn't know where they were. No, this is the time we don't have to worry about these things. And the harm that they did to Islam, to the cause, because they wouldn't take a stance. So what happens is, brothers and sisters, I talked a little bit before about the idea of two of the terminology that we use in Farsi. One of them is the term khawas, and the other is the term awam. So the khawas are those who, instead of looking at who's speaking, and how eloquent and how powerful, they look at the adilla. What are you saying? What are the principles? And then once they examine the principles, they come to conclusions. Other people are awam. If their khawas tell them, those who understand, those who get it, those who understand the moments, they say they move. Like now, Muslims with celebrity Muslims. Many Muslims, they follow celebrity Muslims. If a celebrity Muslim somehow happens to take the right stance, the mu'min or mu'mina is, alhamdulillah, we move in the right direction. Otherwise, how many mu'mineen are following celebrity Muslims and completely wrong stances? Those celebrity Muslims, of course, they're going to have to answer to God. You're not allowed to. Everybody, every word we say counts. Every stance we take counts. People are listening. People are following. But some people are like that. They follow the celebrity Muslim. They follow those khawas. They don't make those decisions themselves. They don't examine what's actually being said, and then they make decisions. What happens is Karbala takes place when the khawas of the mu'mineen don't do their responsibility. They don't recognize their responsibility for whatever reasons, because there's a lot of reasons. A big part of it is fear. Fear makes us confused. We confuse ourselves. But the bottom line is we're just afraid. That's the, we want to call a spade, we're just afraid. We might say, no, I am the most brave, you don't know Allahu Akbar, but in reality, we know ourselves. Al-insan ala nafsihi basira. Confused, not knowing. And in Karbala, what happens was you had some people who are aware of their taklif. So you had big people, people like Abdullah bin Ja'far. This is the son of, the husband of Zainab. Sahabi of this He's a big guy. His father is Ja'far Tayyar. Abdullah doesn't make the right decision. Abdullah bin Abbas, people with big claims, fuqaha. You know hadith. You've seen Rasulullah. Abdullah bin Zubair, so many others, people who knew who the masses were looking. If such and such speaks, then I know it's my time. They wouldn't speak. They got confused. We'll call them confused. But the husband of Lady Zainab, Lady Zainab, and what happens is, brothers and sisters, being one of the khawas, you don't have to be an alim. Sometimes the alim is one of the khawas, sometimes the alim is one of the awam. During the course of the revolution, there were some individuals, there was an alim, the leader talks about this. And he would be debating with mu'mineen, and one of his debates was this. He said that, why do we have to say 3 salawat after we say Imam Khomeini's name? We say Rasulullah's name, we only say 1 salawat. Imam Khomeini's name? 3, what is this? The guy who's from the khawas, who understands, is trying to talk gently to the alim, explain to the alim, he's like, right now we're in a struggle. When you say the name of Imam Khomeini, this is jihad. He said, once we win, we'll say 3 salawats every time we hear the Prophet's name. Right now saying the Prophet's name, that's not the jihad. What hurts the enemy is saying Imam Khomeini. Sometimes the father in the family might not be one of the khawas. He might be one of the awam. He might not understand. He doesn't know what his responsibility is. Sometimes the mother understands. In Karbala, one of the khawas who recognized the moment was Lady Zainab. She wasn't confused. Abdullah bin Zubair was confused. Abdullah bin Zubair was confused. Abdullah bin Ja'far is confused. Abdullah bin Abbas, he's confused. Lady Zainab's not confused. I can't abandon my imam. Islam wants sacrifice. Maybe her husband even didn't want her to go, but she said, no, this is my responsibility. Not only that, when she went, she didn't just go herself, say, well, it's my responsibility, because she knew the dangers of going with Imam Hussein. You're going up against Yazid? Are you kidding me? That's not pretty. I mean, we have to remember Yazid, what he did to Medina, what he did to Mecca. And if you know who this wild man is, you know what you're getting into. Lady Zainab didn't say, well, I'm just going to go by myself. Whatever happens, happens. She took her boys with her. She recognized the moment. Islam needs me now. And that's the Islam that we're calling for. The Islam where, as it says in the Quran, أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة. With بصيرة. Me and those who follow me. Islam expects that we understand. In the battlefield of Karbala, we talked about this. A young man named Amr. Young man comes over, his father has been shaheed. He comes to Imam Hussein, he asks for permission. When he comes to Imam Hussein for asks for permission, he says, well, maybe your mom's not okay with this. Is your mom okay? He said, my mom, Amr, she's the one who told me to come. She recognized the moment. Wahab, he was battling, he came back to his mom. He said, are you pleased with me? She said, not until you become shaheed. Some people have this basira. They recognize the moment. Ala al-Islam as-salam. Saving myself. I'll save myself later after Imam Hussein. So we want to be like this. We want to make sure that we're people who do our responsibility, who recognize our responsibility. Now what happens, brothers and sisters, is we have to come to this conclusion that Karbala and Ashura, this is something which creates haraka in insan. This turns you into a giant killer. Karbala, the words of Imam Hussein. This isn't a small, these majal, why so much thawab for these? If used properly, you don't care how many your enemy are. You do your responsibility. It's not only logical, there's also emotions, love, passion, tears. But that means Karbala needs to be explained properly. If it's just guilt money, I come. This is this time of the year. We have to mourn for 10 days. I pay my guilt money to the masjid. I give the sheikh some hadiyah. I did my part. The masjid, alhamdulillah. I organized the majlis. Am I readying myself for the imam of the time? Is it about that? Sometimes what happens is Karbala is not about justice. It's not about standing up for the truth. It's a ritual. I cry, I feel good. I've heard all those hadith about crying. I go back to my life. I live it as I was before. But what happens is, the tough part is why people failed in Karbala. In Islam, it's all of Islam. One part of Islam are the social and political dimensions of Islam. When you have to say truth to power, afdalul jihad, Rasulullah says, kalimatu haqqin inda sultan. When you speak up, when you do your responsibility, when you call out for Quds, when you call out for Yemen. When you see these things, you say that, no, Islam. This is Islam. All of Islam. Not just prayer, not just fasting, not just sadaqah, not just tying the ties of relationship. All of Islam. But when it comes to the social and political responsibilities that come, are associated with being a follower of the Ahlul Bayt, many, many people fail. The hadith of Imam Hussein is a little scary. He says this, إِنَّ النَّاسْ عَبِيدُ الدُّنْيَا. Truly the people are slaves of this world. وَالدِّينْ لَعْقٌ عَلَىٰ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Deen is like a sweet thing on their tongues. We come, I'm mu'min, alhamdulillah, salat, hijab, homes, I do my responsibilities. Deen is a sweet thing on their tongue. I mourn for Imam Hussein, I cry, I feel better. I hear inspirational stories, I know I can do better. He says, يَحُوتُونَ بِهِ مَا دَرَّتْ مَعَيَشُهُمْ. As long as people's livelihoods are good, as long as there's no danger, as long as it's not going to harm my business, and these kind of things, and many people, alhamdulillah, mu'min, shi'a, alhamdulillah, haji. He says, فَإِذَا مُحِسُوا بِالْبَلَىٰ. But then once that Imam Hussein speaking, once the time comes that now you have to put your neck on the line for Islam, it's not just 1,400 years ago. Now you have to go over, you have to say kalamatu haqq. At this time, إِذَا مُحِسُ بِالْبَلَىٰ قَلَّ الدَّيَّانُ. Suddenly you find there's 72. Reality. It's like Imam Hussein is speaking right now. This social political side of Islam and the Ahlul Bayt, they talked about this. Those who would refuse to do their social and political responsibilities, part of Islam, not the wilayah of Ahlul Bayt, not the social and political wilayah of Ahlul Bayt, not that I have to go against the tawaghit, just love of Ahlul Bayt, recognizing their stature, salah in my personal life, fasting in my personal life, a little sadaqah here and there. Once a man came to Imam Baqir alayhi salam, beautiful story, came to Imam Baqir, and he said, we Shia are so few that if we go over and we, in the time of Imam Baqir, he said, if we were to come and sit down and all take from one sheep, we would finish we wouldn't be able to basically finish the sheep off. There's so few Shia. The Imam told him, he said, you want to hear something that's more strange than that? He said, Al-Muhajirun wal-Ansar dhahabu. Those same people who were there in the time of Badr, Uhud, Khaybar, Al-Muhajirun wal-Ansar, he said they left except for three, is many hadith. Three stayed. Salman was there. Miqdad was strong. Abu Dhar, he stood. The narrator says, I'm thinking in my mind, what about Ammar? Asked the Imam, what about Ammar? He said, Rahimallah Ammara. Allah have mercy on Ammar. He says, Bay'a. He made Bay'a. Wa qutila shahida. The narrator said, I'm thinking in my own mind,
Okay, alhamdulillah, bay'ah, shahada. What's, the Imam said, you think he's like the first three? Ammar hesitated. Yeah, he made bay'ah. You think he's like the first three? The Imam said this. He said, فَلَعَلَّكَ تَرَى أَنَّهُ مِثْلُ الثَّلَاثَةَ Ayhat, ayhat. He didn't recognize the moment. He was a little slow. And even though he made bay'ah, even though he was killed in the way of Allah, but he didn't recognize the moment. He wasn't alim bizamani. He never caught up to Salman and the others. The words of the Ahlul Bayt, because remember in Karbala, the same thing happened. If we remember, in Karbala, there was a group called the Tawabin. The Tawabin, 5,000 strong. They came out maybe 6 months after Imam Hussein's Qiyam. They went and did their responsibility. They became shaheed. But what is the comparison between the Tawabin and the Shuhada of Karbala? 6 months. The words the Ahlul Bayt use, both at that time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, when believers refused to do their social political responsibility, and at the time of Imam Hussein, they say, irtadda an-nas. The people left the deen. These same people praying, fasting, doing all these great things. But when it comes to defending Ahlul Bayt, putting your neck on the line for Islam, no. Irtadda an-nas. After Hussein, so the hadith, Imam Sadiq says, irtadda an-nas ba'da al-Husayn alayhi salam illa thalatha. There were only three who made it. The event of Karbala was so devastating. The idea of seeing the grandson of the Prophet, his head put on a plate, people beating it with sticks, his family being paraded through cities. It broke the Shia. Three made it. After that, ثُمَّ إِنَّ النَّاسِ لَحِقُوا وَكَثُرُوا After that, people gathered. After that, people joined. When you were needed, عَلَمْ بِزَمَانِ The words that they used to use, this is now from the Imam, he says that one of those who made it, Yahya ibn Tawil, he used to come into the Masjid of Medina and he would see all those other Shia who had love of Ahlul Bayt, who were great guys. Love of Ahlul Bayt, but weren't with the Imam. What did he used to say about them? وَيَقُولُ He would come and he would always say this. كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ We've done kufr to you. وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءِ He used to quote the same verse Ibrahim alayhi salam, the companions of Ibrahim, would quote to the kuffar. And he wasn't playing. And the Imam's narrating this. How important is this? That in the time of Imam Sadiq, the Imam is over there, this is the lesson. Three made it. Out of these three, this is what they used to say to those Shia who abandoned their responsibilities. They were quoting verse number 60. Surah number 60 and verse number 4, where Ibrahim and those who were with him, this is what they would say. Why is it that he would quote them as using the verse that Allah used for the mushrikeen? Isn't that harsh? This is also very, very important if we want to be alim bizamani and understand we have to obey the Ahlul Bayt in our social and political responsibilities. God considers obedience to anyone other than Him, including our nafs, including others, tawaghit. If it's in disobedience of God, God considers it shirk in Quran. And He gives us examples of this. Sometimes He says it explicitly. Like he says in Surah 6, verse number 121, he says, talking about the shayateen, وَإِنْ أَتَعْتُمُوهُمْ If you obey them, إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ God says in Quran. Other times, Rasulullah would go over and explain this same point. There's a man, a new Muslim, about to embrace the faith, comes across a verse of Quran, surprise, what does this verse mean? اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. What does that mean? Surah 9, verse number 31. And Rasulullah, he said, what do you mean? We took our scholars, our monks, as arbab min dun Allah?
We didn't worship them. I was Ahlul Kitab myself. I wouldn't worship them.
Rasulullah asked a question. He said, wouldn't it be the case that they would make halal haram for you and haram halal for you? Just like now, right now. In every Abrahamic faith, everybody knows homosexuality is haram. It's not like Islam didn't invent it.
In the Bible, everybody knows.
Why can a priest say it's okay? Can we just change Allah's law? I don't like this law of Allah. Do we have that right? So he asked him, he said, did this used to happen that halal became haram, haram became halal according to them? He said, yeah, that happened. You and that, then they were doing that. He said, tilka ibadatuhum. You were worshiping them. The shirk, brothers and sisters. Disobeying Ahlul Bayt, following my nafs, following shaitan, wilaya of Iblis. Because Iblis doesn't want me to do amr bil ma'ruf and nahin munkar. Iblis doesn't want me to be brave. Yukhawifu awliya.
Ayat of Quran.
Iblis, shaitan, shayateen. Yukhawifu awliya. Don't fear God, fear people. Allah says, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِي. Shaitan says, no. So wilaya of Iblis, shirk, when we disobey Allah and obey our nafs, obey shayateen, obey tawaghit. What will help us in this? And I want to talk about that, and then I want to give four practical steps, inshallah. The first one is that, brothers and sisters, when we recount these stories of Karbala, we have to use them to ignite the sense, the love of shahada in our own hearts. Imam Hussein now. He says this, Ala tarawna anna al-haq la yu'malu bih. Do you not see that haq, truth, no one's acting according to that? Wa anna al-batil la yutanaha an. Nobody's stopping people from doing batil. The Imam talks about love of shahada. فَلْيَرْغَبْ الْمُؤْمِنْ فِي لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ مُحِقًّا. The mu'min should want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it that we can watch right in front of us one man get shot 7 times in his back, paralyzed in front of his kids, and we watch another man, the Imam says, nobody acts according to, there's no rules. Another man goes with a long gun, kills one man for breaking a car window, he executes him, then goes down killing other people, and then walks up to the police, walks right past. Like, there are no rules, it's just... Some people just above the law. Why could you and I, we're watching what's happening in Palestine right now. On the news today, they said one village was razed for the 177th time by Israel. Why is that okay? Why do the Yemenis, for years now, brink of starvation? And I'm not supposed to raise my voice. I'm not supposed to be upset. I'm not even supposed to offer humanitarian assistance. Just sit and watch. The case that's going on with our brother right now reminds us of another case that was not too long ago, early 2000. There was a charitable foundation. These are our Sunni brothers, charitable foundation. And in this charitable foundation, they would go over and they used to give to the Palestinians. And if you look up the name of the witness, they had an Israeli as the star witness to go over and hammer these guys. They ended up hammering them. They explained, they said, we know that you're not giving material assistance to Hamas. We know this is humanitarian. You're giving cans of beans, you're giving wheelchairs, you're making wells. We know that. What's your crime? They said, your crime is that when you give a can of beans to a Palestinian, that's one less can of beans Hamas has to buy. You've forgotten this is a group punishment? This is an open-air prison. They all have to die. You watch. That's your responsibility. You sit, you watch, you make dua. If that's the Islam that we have, not al-Islam as-salam, that's not the Islam of Imam Mahdi. That's not going to bring back the Imam. The Imam says something else, though. He says, فَإِنِّي, Hussein is like this, فَإِنِّي لَا أَرَى الْمَوْتِ إِلَّا سَعَادًا. For me, death is nothing but happiness. وَالْحَيَاةِ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا بَرَمًا. Life might with these ظَالِمِين in this kind of a system, it's worthless. It's a burden. The Imam is ready to go. The mu'min or mu'mina is always supposed to be ready to go. Why is it so important for us to tell stories of recent shuhada? Why mention Qasim Sulaimani? Why mention Shahid Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis? Why? Ibrahim Hadi? Why glorify these individuals? Connecting the dots, that's a good thing. When somebody gets in trouble with the government, why is it so important? No, you make a phone call, salamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, everything's going to be okay. Don't run away. The lions chasing the gazelles, gazelles running for their lives. Gazelles get, they get one of the gazelles, the rest of the gazelles run for their lives. We're not animals, we're mu'mineen. They think they can intimidate us? Who are you? Hey, Atmin Nazilla, who are you? Bigger than you, Israel. Solutions. One of the things we have to do is make sure that in our families, one of the best ways of us getting ready for the Imam of the time is to have warm, inviting homes where our children see the interaction between the father and the mother is excellent. Where it's a home where you long to be, where you feel the sense of security and tranquility. You feel loved. When you're addressed with respect. Hugs, you're held. This kind of a warm household where we're friends, we talked about this yesterday, where we're friends with our children. Yes, we're parents, but we're friends with our children. Where we're merciful to our spouses. Like Rasulullah says, he says, the one who doesn't show mercy, man la yarham, la yurham. Where there's affection, where there's hugging, where there's embracing, where there's respect, this is one of the best ways that we have of raising our children to be the soldiers of the Imam of the time. We see in Karbala, the relationship that he had with his children, with his Shia, because they're all his children. The loving relationship between him and them. You see the mothers like Wahab, like Amr. They love their sons. They're sending their sons to, I'm not going to be pleased until you do your responsibility. It starts in the household. Lady Zainab, she never came out of the tent when her boys were slaughtered on Karbala. The time when she came out was to offer emotional support for her imam when Ali Akbar was killed. It's all about the cause. Do your responsibility. We give in the way of Allah. Raising people to be like this. I know some of you might know, my parents were old school. So there was things that we used to do as kids. I don't know how much of it was effective, but share a little memory. There was a song we used to sing as children. And I remember reading this song, I mean, we would sing it as children, and get so emotional just reading it. For it read like this: for me, the Islamic movement is the very purpose of my life. My life is dedicated to it, and my death should also be in pursuit of this purpose. Others may follow it or may not. In all circumstances, this shall be my course, and I will give my life for it. Even if not a single individual steps forward, I will yet do so. And if none accompanies me, I will walk alone. If the entire world unites to oppose me, I will contend with it single-handed, undaunted. If that's the way we're raising our children, that's the... Now, again, like I said, I don't know how effective it was. I remember the first time the cops came for the brothers. I think I was around 7 years old. And they had come for the brothers. They were kick us out of an island. We were on a small island. We were Sunni at that time. We were going to get kicked off of an island, Dominica. And I was like 7 years old. The cops come, surround the house. And I went and ran outside and I hid. And there are all these powerful lines. And then one of the cops came over, sees me as a 7-year-old hiding behind the thing. He said, "Who are you afraid of?" And I remembered my training. Only Allah. At least the direction was right, though. The way of raising the children. Number two, devices. Even if we have warm family relationships, do our children have unfettered access to social media, where it undoes all of the hard work we're doing? It's easier to give your kids a device. They sit down, they're not bothering you. I bought you a new iPad. You sit in your room, you enjoy. Is that good parenting, though? The hadith of the Ahlul Bayt are a little scary. This is from Imam Sadiq. He says this, "An-nadharu sahmun min sihami iblis." What you see, he says, this is an arrow from the arrows of shaitan. He says, "Wa kam min nadratin." How many times is it somebody sees something they're not supposed to see? "Awrathat hasratan tawila." It was one moment they saw that something they weren't supposed to see, got addicted to something, unfettered access to the internet. Undoing all of the hard work, the warm family. It's a young person, non-baligh, access already. It's gotten so bad, non-Muslims are saying, if you have a device, have it where everybody can see. Non-Muslims are saying, those same people who created these handheld devices, they don't give their kids cell phones. They sell them to you and I, give them to the sheep. They don't. What are the studies like for those people who spend that much time watching things? And it's not only porn. A lot of the movies have an agenda. A lot of the Muslim influencers, Muslim YouTubers, knowingly or unknowingly, are being used by the forces of shaitan. They'll build a gathering and then say, "I've decided to take off the hijab." And you can see it's a campaign. Like somebody's teaching, somebody's coaching. What else? Islamic schools, brothers and sisters. The Maraja have spoken. When is it haram to put my children in school? Can we put non-baligh children just in any school? What about if it's, there's a lot of advantages over there. It's allowed. Maraja have spoken. It is not allowed for parents to send their non-baligh children to a school where the parents are fearful about the children's religious beliefs being affected. I'm sending this kid to the school. I know it's secular. I know the Islam will be under attack. Number two, if I'm fearful about their akhlaq being corrupted. How many children there are? Children are good. They're perfect muwahideen when they come out. The first few years, warm family home. We protected them from the evil of the devices. Now I put them in this thing and practicing mu'mineen. What about the fatwa? Or the imam, the maraja say, sending them in environments where false teachings and practices are promoted. Is it okay for my kids to learn that Johnny has two daddies? Is that okay? If the schools are places where the children are not able to stay away from false, sinful, and misguiding material. Maraja, Ayatollah Sistani, may Allah protect him. Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah protect him. We follow Maraja in this area also. So that means, brothers and sisters, what's on us is we must create proper Islamic schools. We have to look out for those who are most valuable and most vulnerable. Our centers should not be places that only cater for the elderly, but also for our youth. If our youth are in an Islamic environment for 8 hours a day, and not a Sunday school, where now I'm undoing 40 hours of work, the other side had 40 hours to work on my child, I now have 1 hour at Sunday, he wants to watch the NBA playoffs, no, sit down, learn Islam. Does the math add up? I mean, 40 hours, one. The schools need practicing Shia teachers, by the way. God knows how detrimental it is when a teacher, a role model for Islam, that person says, you don't have to practice this part of Islam. The nicer the akhlaq is, the more deadly. Very kind, always big sister, big brother, talking to the students. But then I tell you, or I don't in my own life, I wear the hijab when I come to the school, I take off the hijab and I'm on social media. Your kids are on social media. Now, Miss such and such, brother such and such, what aren't they doing? Practicing Shia teachers or introducing Islam in the right way. And a community, the last point, a community where we see each other. So our centers should be centers where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worshipped, where our children spend time and long to go, where our children have activities, gyms, and this is stuff we can do. But then after that, we need a family, a larger family, a community. Hadith says, Al-Mu'minun wal-Mu'minat, ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. Allah says in the Quran. Or the Prophet said, a man is on the deen of his friend and his associate. We need other believers. The Hadith tell us that if a believer doesn't hang around other believers, I always have non-Muslim friends. The Hadith says, فَإِنَّ يَدَ اللَّهِ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ, the hand of Allah is with the jama'ah. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْفُرْقَ, beware of separation. Then he says this, فَإِنَّ الشَّاذ مِنَ النَّاسِ لِلشَّيْطَانِ, the person who doesn't hang around with other Muslims, always hang around non-Muslim friends, لِلشَّيْطَانِ, كَمَا أَنَّ الشَّاذ مِنَ الْغَنَمِ لِلذِّئْبِ, same way that the wolf is for the sheep is for the wolf. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, today, as we're coming close to the time of Maghrib, I won't be doing the masaib. I just want to at least get the thawab of mentioning the thawab that inshallah we'll get from listening to what our brother is going to share with us. Imam Ridha says, In bakayta ala al-Husayn, if you cry for Hussein alayhi salam, hatta tasira dumuka ala khadayk, just to the extent that the tears come on your cheek, غفر الله لك كل ذنب أذنبت صغيرة كان أو كبيرة, God will forgive every sin you've ever committed, great or small, قليلا كان أو كثيرا, whether it be much or great. We end with our salams on the Imam. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر لهدي مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله Peace and blessings be upon you, O Prophet of Allah. Peace and blessings be upon you, Ya Aba Abdullah. Ya Habibi, Ya Hussein. Nur Aini, Ya Hussein. Ya Habibi, Ya Hussein. يا رحمة الله الواسعة يا حسين Oh my beloved يا حسين The light of my eyes يا أبا عبد الله الحسين Oh the vast mercy of Allah يا أبا عبد الله Brothers and sisters, let us all recall the tragic day of Karbala, the day when the grandson of the Prophet of Islam was slaughtered like a sacrificial lamb by those who claimed to be Muslims. But the night before the tragic day, Aba Abdullah was with his companions. It is said that every time one of them would be martyred on the 10th of Karbala, he would recite the verse, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Min al-Mu'mineen rijalun sadaqu ma'a عهد الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا Among the believers there are men true to what they promised Allah سبحانه وتعالى Among them is he who has fulfilled his vow to the death And among them is he who waits his chance And they did not alter the terms of their commitment by any alteration The history testifies to Imam Hussein's statement when he would say, There are no companions as good and as loyal as my companions. On that night before the 10th, he told his companions that tomorrow's the big day. And if anybody wants to leave, the night is the perfect time for you to leave. He would turn off any source of light to avoid humiliation. He would tell them, go and take my family with you, for it is me that they want. It is my bay'ah, my allegiance that they want from me. All Aba Abdullah al-Hussein had to do was say a few words and they all would have went back. But Aba Abdullah had made it clear, فعلى الإسلام والسلام إذا ابتليت الأمة براع مثل يزيد. For Islam would be perished if he was to validate the caliphate of Yazid. As Aba Abdullah told them they can leave, Banu Hashim would say to him, and how shall we live without you, Ya Hussein? May Allah not show us that day. Muslim ibn Awsaja would say to him, and how will we beg Allah's forgiveness in regards to your right waits upon us. This is the same Muslim that told Habib, my final will to you, O Habib, is that you don't leave that man alone. Referring to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, Sa'id ibn Abdullah would say, I swear by Allah if I will be killed, and then revived, and soon after burned. After they revive me, and they continue to do this to me 70 times, I will never leave you, Ya Hussein. On the 10th day of Muharram, all of the companions remained loyal to Abu Abdullah as they claimed. Muslim ibn Awsajah died in the way of Hussein. Wahab died in the way of Hussein. Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi died in the way of Hussein. Habib ibn Mazahir and the rest of the companions, like Zuhair ibn al-Qain, they all died and gave their life towards Abu Abdullah. But now Abu Abdullah, after losing all of his companions, he is left with his family members, who will be the first to go out and sacrifice their life for the religion of the Prophet. The narration states that the first one who came forward was Ali al-Akbar, the flower of Imam al-Hussein's heart. Ali al-Akbar had recited the adhan for that fajr. He came towards the Imam and he told him, O father, allow me to go out and defend you. Ya Aba Abdullah, there is no one that can defend you. Allow me to go out and make my face brightened in front of Rasulullah. Seeing the condition they were in, Aba Abdullah brought his son close to him and he began to kiss him and embrace Ali al-Akbar, for he has raised him since the day he was born. You can imagine the emotions of Aba Abdullah watching his son go out towards the battlefield. He went towards the women and he bid them goodbye as they began to say to him, O Ali, have mercy upon us in this strange land. We can't bear your separation, but who will defend Aba Abdullah al-Hussein if Ali was to remain near them? After having permission from his father to go towards the enemies, Aba Abdullah began to recite, Allahumma ashhad ala ha'ula'i al-qawm faqad baraza ilayhim ghulam ashbahun nas khalqan wa khuluqan wa mantiqan bi rasulika Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa kunna idha ashtaqna ilayh nazarna ila wajhi. O Allah, bear witness upon these people, for a young man has come forward to them who is the most who resembles your Prophet. And whenever we miss the face of Rasulullah, we would look at the face of Ali al-Akbar. He then said to Umar ibn Sa'd, Qata' Allahu rahmak, may Allah sever your lineage, and may Allah never bless you in any matter. He then raised his voice in recitation, saying, Inna Allah astafa Adama wa Nuhan wa ala Ibrahim wa ala Imran ala al-alamin dhurriyatan ba'dhuha min ba'd wallahu sami'un alim. Indeed, Allah chose Adam and Noah and the progeny of Ibrahim and the progeny of Imran above all the nations. Some of them are descendants of others, and God is all hearing and all knowing. Ali al-Akbar went towards the battlefield. He charged at the opposition, reciting the following lines: Ana Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali, nahnu wa baytillah awla bin Nabi, wallah ma yahkumu fina ibn al-Da'i, أطعنكم بالرمح حتى ينثني، أضربكم بالسيف أحمي عن أبي، ضرب غلام هاشمي علوي. I am Ali, the son of Hussein, the son of Ali. We are by the house of God more worthy of the Prophet. By Allah, the son of the impostor will not rule over us. I will stab you with the spear until it breaks. I will stab you with my sword to defend my father. The strike of a young Hashemite Alawi. Ali al-Akbar displayed the great courage and bravery of Banu Hashim to the extent that he killed many of their men. The opposition became distraught by the amount Ali was able to eliminate single-handedly. Then Umar ibn Sa'd called upon his men and he asked them if there was anyone who can challenge Ali al-Akbar. A man stepped forward by the name of Bakr ibn Ghanim to challenge Ali al-Akbar. Imam al-Hussein was watching this and his facial expression began to change as he watched Ali al-Akbar. According to some narrations, his mother was looking, waiting to see what will happen to her beloved Ali. After the dua of his parents, Ali al-Akbar made his way back as he emerged victorious. As Ali al-Akbar went back towards the camp of his father, he said to him, Ya Abata al-Atash qatalani wa thiqli al-hadid qad ajhadani fa hal ila shurbatin min ma'i sabila taqawwa biha ala al-a'da. Oh father, the thirst is killing me and the weight of iron has tired me. Is there means by which I can get a sip of water to strengthen me against my enemies? The Imam would say to him, O Ali, from where can I get you any water? Fight for a bit, my dear son, and you will soon meet your grandfather who will quench your thirst from his cup, after which you will never be thirsty again. He went up to his mother according to some narrations, and he bid her farewell as well as the rest of the women. And so the enemies, they offered Ali sanctuary. Oh Ali, if you don't wish to be killed, your mother is related to the Prince of Believers, Yazid, for she was cousins with Yazid. He told them, surely the blood relation to the Messenger of Allah is more worthy of being respected than what you offer me. Ali al-Akbar returns to the battlefield, and this would be the final time his father would see him in the state he was in. He returned and he began to fight valiantly until he was struck by the enemies. عظم الله لك الأجر يا صاحب الزمان، عظم الله لك الأجر يا فاطمة، عظم الله لك الأجر يا رسول الله. A man by the name of Murr ibn Munqidh struck Ali al-Akbar with a lance in his back, and then they struck him on his head. God, as Ali al-Akbar began to recite, Alayka minni salam ya abata. Oh Father, this is the final farewell. Oh Father, here is my grandfather Rasulullah giving me a drink out of his cup, after which I shall never be thirsty. And they say to you, hurry to us, O Hussein, for there is a cup waiting for you. After the enemies surrounded him, they began to strike Ali al-Akbar before his father could make his way. When the Imam finally reached the body of Ali al-Akbar, he got off his horse and laid down near his son, placing his chest on the chest of Ali and the cheek upon Ali's cheek. He said, Bunay Ali, بناي قتل الله قوما قتلوك ما أجرأهم على الرحمن وعلى انتهاك حرمة الرسول. May Allah kill those who killed you, my son. What audacity have they shown towards the most merciful and the sanctity of the messenger. And then he began to cry, his tears filled his eyes, as he began to say, Waladi Ali, Waladi Ali, Waladi Ali, على الدنيا بعدك العفا. أما أنت يا بني فقد استرحت من هم الدنيا وغمها، وبقي أبوك لهمها وغمها. My son Ali, after your loss, what's this life even worth? You have now departed from the sorrow and grief of this world, but your father remains to endure the sorrow and grief. Seeing this, the women of Al-Muhammad began to cry and began to weep. Sayyida Zainab came out of the tents, crying out, Wa Habiba, Wa Thamarata Fuada, Wa Nura Aina, O my beloved nephew, O the apple of my heart, O the light of my eye. Aba Abdullah would call upon Banu Hashim, as he would say to them, come and carry your brother Ali. They carried him and placed him near the tents, where the women of Al-Muhammad would be able to weep and lament the death of Ali. As his father would cry out, Ali rah, Ali rah, Ali rah, يا زينب قومي سنديني علي راح. The poet depicts this. علي راح يا زينب قومي سنديني علي راح. Oh Zainab, come and aid me, for Ali's gone. علي راح يا زينب قومي سنديني علي راح. علي راح تعالي وعاونيني نشد الجراح، أشيله شلون الأمة أخاف تموت يمه. How will I raise Ali and put him near his mother? I am afraid his mother will also die near him when she sees the state of her son Ali al-Akbar. أشيل شلون الأمه أخاف تموت يمه أخاف تموت يمه علي راح. ألا لعنة الله على قوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين.
Look near your feet, Mawla. Look near your feet, Mawla. I stand here my head down in shame. Not worthy I stand here. No one else but myself to blame. My disloyalties and all my sins are in front of you. Only hope I have now is the love I profess for you. I know I have hurt you. How the servants breaking your heart. I know I have been wrong. That's what tears me further apart. But I come back to you. Please let me have another start. Hussein, Mawlai, Hussein. Hussein, Mawlai, Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Mawlai, Hussein. Hussein, Mawlai, Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Mawlai, Hussein. Hussein, Mawlai, Hussein, Hussein. The moon of your month is rising upon this world again. All the sorrow and grief, all eyes drowning in tears of pain. Yet I stand here once more, still not changing, being the same. While the world goes insane for the love of you, O Hussein. I am the poorest of the poor that comes begging to you. Hands tied behind my back as a slave returning to you. Dust upon our faces like hur undeserving of you. Dust upon our faces like hur undeserving of you. Hussein Mawlai Hussein. Hussein Mawlai Hussein Hussein. Hussein Mawlai Hussein. Hussein Mawlai Hussein Hussein. Hussein Mawlai Hussein. Hussein Mawlai Hussein Hussein. Now with you my master I pledge my allegiance again. As they threaten Lady Zainab our hearts pounding in pain. She won't suffer again, not till blood pumps through our veins. Not one step they will take towards her we promise. Hussein, we will be her Abbas, her Qasim and Ali Akbar. We will give all we have, even our Ali Asghar. We say labbaik to you. Please accept us as your lover.
prayers, we say labbaik to you. Please accept us as your lovers. Hussein Mawlai Hussein, Hussein Mawlai Hussein, Hussein Hussein Mawlai Hussein, Hussein Mawlai Hussein, Hussein Hussein Mawlai Hussein, Hussein Mawlai Hussein, Hussein. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma kun li waliyika al-hujjat ibn al-Hasan. صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآل الطاهرين. Look near your feet, Mawla. Look near your feet, Mawla. I stand here my head down in shame. Not worthy I stand here, no one else but myself to blame. My disloyalties and all my sins are in front of you. Only hope I have now is the love I profess for you. I know I have hurt you, how the servants breaking your heart. I know I have been wrong, that's what tears me further apart. But I come back to you, please let me have another start. Hussein Mawlai Hussein, Hussein Mawlai Hussein, Hussein Hussein Mawlai Hussein, Hussein Mawlai Hussein, Hussein Hussein Mawlai Hussein, Hussein Mawlai Hussein, Hussein.